Let us look at John chapter 6. This morning, I'm taking the opportunity and the occasion to tell you something about my website and how it can help you to make maximum use of it. One thing I note, and this is that there are a number of you in Sungai Ara Gospel Hall who regularly visit the website, and I know for sure even that some of you have been using it regularly to prepare yourselves for the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day. Now perhaps you may not know fully what it is all about, so I'm going to show you how to maximize what you can find over there. And for those who have not been, to introduce you perhaps to the website. You can, those of you who have a computer, you will know how to enter into the website by visiting the URL which I put at the bottom of the notes there. And it is berita-bethel-ang.com. Now, if you have lost this URL, you need not worry. You just have got to go to Google search. You type in Berita Bethel, and at once the home site will appear as the first in the list of the result churches, searches. So you have no problem. You always be the first there. So you can find it there immediately. Now, how did this website come about? It came about when one of my Bible class students, years ago, who was then no more in Penang, but who had gone abroad, and he wrote to me to tell me that he missed the studies that I was conducting in the Bible class in my home and in the church. And today, what he was listening to was more superficial ministry and devotional messages. He would like to go deeper into the study of God's Word, and he offered to open up a website for me so that I could post all my studies onto the website. And that's how it happened 4 years ago. So today, he's still doing it this for me, and I'm grateful to him. And there are many others like him who have treasured this website because of what they have discovered. Do not be afraid of any virus. This morning, I purposely went into the search engine, Google, to search for it by typing Berita Bethel to see whether I could get it. And true enough, it appeared, and I was surprised below there was the Assessment McCafe. And I clicked it, and I saw that the people there had entered into the website and had censored it and vouched it, said, okay, it's a clean website, so don't be afraid of antivirus, of your virus. Alright, now, when you enter the website, what do you see? The first thing you see on the home page is the 2009-2010 schedule. This is my speaker's roster for the year 2009 and 2010, next year. This year, my schedule is nearly full already. Very few empty slots. Next year, a few left, but it is filling up very fast. So that will be the place to go to find out where I am each Sunday. Then, after that, you have another section known as Sunday Rumination. I'll talk about that afterwards. After that, you have another section known as Berita Bethel. This will contain all my newsletters from the very beginning. And from the very beginning would mean over 10 years ago. So from volume 1, number 1, up to today, volume 13, all the newsletters are archived in that place. Then there is another section, a big section, which is the part that you should be interested in. It is called Break Down the Bread of Life. This title is gleaned from John chapter 6, the story of the Lord Jesus Christ feeding the 5,000. And under this title are three other titles. They are the loaves and fishes, the fragments, and the filled food. Now, these words are taken from John chapter 6. And we read in John chapter 6 and verse 9, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And I took these 2 loaves and fishes out from this passage, because these 2 loaves and 5 fishes were used to feed the 5,000 men, and they were all filled. In this section, you will find all my sermon outlines. You know, every time I come over here, I give you a sermon outline. Now, that sermon outline is a very short one, only on one page. But if you want a full sermon outline that I use for myself, then it is posted in that section, loaves and fishes. And for that one page of yours, you may find 3 or 4 more pages all over there in detail with all the references and the studies and so on. And so there are at least 100 to 200 sermon outlines over there already. Now that will be under loaves and fishes, Bible studies and sermon outlines. Then there is another section known as the fragments. Now this is from verse 12, where we read, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain. The fragments in that section, you'll find only short sermon outlines, perhaps of 5 or 6 points only. 5 or 6 points. Now I have not developed that section because I feel that what is found in the loaves and fishes with a complete outline, if you can just take up the titles, the subtitles, they will form the fragments already. So I have not developed that section very much, but the fragments are for short sermon outlines. Then the third section is filled full. Filled full in this section are all those papers that I have presented in Bible conferences and in Bible camps, where I have written out word for word, or I have written articles in magazines. They are all there, and they come under the segment filled full, because that's where you are filled full with every word written out in full for you. So that section comes under the heading Break Thou the Bread of Life to Me. After that, you will come across another section known as Audio Messages. Now, last year there was a request by some believers to me that they said that they could benefit much more from my studies if I could record all that I was saying in the meetings onto the home site, onto the site, so that they could even hear, because with outlines sometimes they could not get fully what I was trying to get at. And so they requested that all my sermons be recorded and be put up on the site. This morning, for example, whatever I say will be up on the website in 2 days' time. So it's all recorded. So every sermon now, this year, all are recorded onto the website. So, for example, early this year, we have the study of the year of the bull. And you can find the variations of this study in Balmoral Gospel Hall, in Sungai Ara, in Sungai Nibong, in Batuan Gospel Hall, all there. You see, you have only heard one part of the year of the bull, but in one or two other assemblies, I have stretched it out to 2 parts, and even 2 parts not enough, I may have to stretch out into the 3rd part. And all that will are found in the website. And people find this one very, very beneficial. In what way? How do they use it? One, they can download the audio file, and then if they have their computer in front, they will also open up the outline, the sermon outline of the file. They look at the computer, and at the same time, they listen. And so they have the outline before them, and they listen to how I develop that outline. But in many cases, many of them say to me, it is much better to download that file and then burn it onto a CD. And especially those people from KL, they say, we always get into trouble. The traffic jams there are horrible. So when we are caught in the traffic jams, we play the CD. And so they have a beneficial time listening to the word while they are caught in traffic jams. Well, there's still one way that you can use it. If you find yourself cannot sleep, you can play the CD. And perhaps if the message is dull enough and more too difficult enough, well, listen to it and you can sleep. So it's a good sleeping pill. So these are the things that are found there. But most importantly, and this is the high point of my website, and that is the rumination. Now, what is this rumination? The word rumination, it comes from the cow who grazes the grass in the meadow. And as the cow grazes the grass in the meadow, it takes up all the grass in the meadow, keeps it in its mouth, swallows it, and then after that it goes to a shade under a tree, and then it starts chewing the cud. It takes out the grass again from its stomach and then start chewing and digesting it. And that process is what we call ruminating, and therefore rumination. So the whole idea is that these outlines are put to you first for you to have a glance at them. And you may not have time to really understand, to digest the lessons there, but you will have an idea of what's all about, and you prepare yourself for the Lord's Day. See, the rumination comes on every week, every Sunday. And actually, it appears on the website every Thursday. And those who have asked to be sent to them by email attachment, because they are lazy to go to the website every week, so it is sent to them by email attachment. And they prepare themselves for the Lord's Day when they come for the Lord's Supper. And of course, in the process, if they don't have time, they just have a quick glance at it. They are grazing the meadow for the grass. Then after that, they have time, then they can sit down and develop, and then they chew the cud. And so that's how the rumination develops, and it is there every single week without fail for 4 years already. And if you look at your notes, today we are using the rumination for this day, the Lord's Day. Rumination number 219. And it is called, Could You See? I'll tell you the history behind this after this. But the rumination is specially for the preparation of the Christian every Lord's Day, so that the Christian will come prepared. Now, rumination is this rumination of devotion is different from other devotional books. Why? Because it is only focused and it is to prepare the people for the Lord's Supper. It is always focused on the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, the remembrance of the Lord leading to the reverence for the Lord. Remembrance for the Lord leading to the reverence for the Lord. Remembrance leading to worship. And that's what the rumination is for every week. That it will recall the thoughts for you to remember the Lord in His death, burial and resurrection, so that finally you will worship Him for who He is and what He has done. And so that is the rumination. And I want to show you how to make use of the rumination today. Now, first and foremost, you cannot be using the whole rumination for the Lord's Supper. You will occupy the whole time. Now, let us remember this. In the Lord's Supper, it is important that every member has the opportunity to remember the Lord and to worship the Lord. And therefore, there should never be a monopoly of a remembrance feast by anybody. There should be opportunities for people to take part, as in the instruction in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that when you think you have a revelation, you pause a while and wait, because the Spirit may speak to another person and that person has a revelation too. And in that case, you keep silent so that the other person can stand up and give the revelation. And so this is what it should be. Many people taking part in the Lord's Supper. And the rumination is there to help you. If you cannot give everything, but just take some important points, maybe the four main points, maybe the one main point and then the sub points. That's all. It is purposely given in outline form because I do not want my thoughts to be your thoughts. I want my thoughts to be the launching pad for the Holy Spirit to make use of those thoughts so that He can open you up to many other thoughts as led by Him. And this is more important than ever. So, to all, later on, for those of you who serve the Lord and want to do deeper Bible studies, you can make use of the rumination and turn to all the references, do a study of the topic, and, well, it becomes a Bible study. And those of you who have opportunities to occupy the pulpit, it can become a sermon. And this is what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to turn today's rumination into a sermon, so that you can see that although it is given out supposedly just for a short, brief time of participation at the Lord's Supper, it can actually be stretched to become a Bible study. And so, today is a very important day, as somebody remarked this morning, that today is post-resurrection. The last week, we had been thinking of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this week is 1 week after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that on the resurrection day, there were two women at least, Mary and another Mary, Mary Magdalene and another Mary, going to the tomb. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And verse 1. I promised to tell you just now the history behind this rumination. This rumination was the result of my attending the Lord's Supper last Sunday at Balmoral Gospel Hall. There was this meditation on the resurrection of the Lord. And in the course of it, in the course of the service, one brother stood up and then he gathered our thoughts to focus on the resurrection of the Lord. And at the end of it, I've forgotten what he said, but one question came up very clearly. He kept on asking at least 5 times, "Can you see?" I cannot associate the words with those words now. But he said, "Can you see?" Perhaps he was saying, "Can you see the Lord in your midst? Can you see the living Lord Jesus Christ in your lives? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see?" And he sat down. And that at once started my thoughts. And I say, I must answer that question from the Lord. "Can you see?" And I say, "Two could not see. Thomas did not want to see. And we have not seen. But soon all will see." And soon these thoughts came together and I contributed only those 4 thoughts. I came home later on, I developed these 4 thoughts into what it is today. Alright, so today you have these 4 main thoughts. But let's see the basis for this first. Chapter 28 verse 1, we see that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb to see the sepulchre. And what did they see? They didn't see the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they saw an angel who told them in verse 6, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Come see. What could they see? In that place, they could see but an empty tomb. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ was no more there. But that's not the point. The point was not just that whether they could see the body of the Lord or not, but whether they could see in the understanding of whether they could understand, whether they could grasp that the Lord Jesus Christ was no more there because He has risen from the dead. Could they see that? That is the point. Not to see the body, but could see that the body was not there. That the empty tomb was proof of a person who was there before God, no more there. And why? Because He is risen. That they must see. That they must see. Could they see? Well, then let's examine some disciples whether they could see. Let's look at Luke chapter 24. Two could not see. There were those two disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. And we read in verse 13, two of them went the same day to a village. And what were they doing? We find then in verse 15, they were discussing between themselves and they were reasoning between themselves what happened 2-3 days ago. What happened? They said to themselves, how could it be the one who came to deliver Israel, that we find in verse 21, He came to deliver Israel. He came to deliver us. But He Himself was delivered and He was crucified on the cross. That is found in verse 20. And now it's a third day. Third day meaning therefore this was a Sunday. The Lord's Day. The day of the resurrection. There they were walking on the road to Emmaus. How could it be? We just cannot understand. We just cannot see the point. We, no matter how we see it, it just could not be. This person was supposed to deliver us. But look at him. He was delivered to the hands of the priests and the rulers. They could not see. Why could they not see? Because they were reasoning among themselves. And when Jesus Christ appeared and walked with them, they could not recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. They could not see Him. Because they were too burdened with their own ability to reason things out. It could not be, it could not be, it should not be. And so they reasoned out things. Reasoning got them nowhere. And they could not recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked them in verse 25. Oh, you foolish fellows, don't you know that if you have read the scriptures properly, then you will know that all the scriptures point to me. They would have told you that He would have buried, He would have been there, He would have been laid hold of by the chief priests and the rulers, He would have been killed, been crucified, and the third day He will rise again. Don't you know that? And He told them about the scriptures, all you foolish ones. Still they could not recognize Him. No, like so many of us, we may be reading the scriptures. We read the scriptures and we read the scriptures and somehow we cannot see what so many of God's servants led by the Spirit couldn't see and have been reading. It's just like a literature book. They cannot see. They cannot see Christ in them. And so they could not see. That Christ was in their midst. They could not see. They were reading the scriptures about Christ. They could not see. And finally they came to the village, as we read in verse 28. And they invited Him to his home, like their home. And we read a strange thing happening. As they invited the Lord Jesus Christ to their home, by right, as hosts, they should be showing hospitality to Jesus Christ. But instead, we read this strange thing in verse 30. It came to pass, as He sat eating with them, He took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who was playing host. And the Lord Jesus Christ was taking the bread, blessed it, and He gave the bread to them. And as He gave the bread to them, then they recognized that it was Jesus. How? Perhaps as the Lord handed them the bread, they saw the nail prints in His hands. And they saw that nail prints, those nail prints identified Him with the one who was crucified on the cross. Truly, this was the Christ who was crucified, but who is now risen again. And with that they saw, and when they saw, Jesus vanished. We read in verse 31. They saw and Jesus vanished. Why? Why did Jesus vanish when they saw? Because Jesus had accomplished what he wanted to do. That they were from thenceforth not to walk by sight, but to walk by faith. And as the moment they could use their eyes of faith to see the Lord, that's enough. He would disappear. From now onwards, they would have to deal with him by the eyes of faith. And that's what all of us have to do. By the eyes of faith. Alright, so they could not see, but they saw by the eyes of faith later on. They saw by sight, and that would have to develop to be the sight of faith. Well, there was another person, Thomas. Thomas did not want to see. Would not see. Let's look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Also, it was the Lord's day. Because we read in verse 25 of John chapter 20. Now there stood by the cross. Sorry, not John 25. John chapter 20 and verse 19. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, again that's 1 week after the resurrection of the Lord, and when the disciples were huddled together, they were afraid of what was happening outside. They dare not go out. Then suddenly the Lord Jesus Christ appeared. And when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared, what did he do? He showed them his hands and his side, verse 20. He showed them his hands and his side. In other words, these hands, this side, would retain the prints, the nail prints that crucified the Lord Jesus, the nails that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, the spear that pierced his side. He showed them and they recognized the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw Christ. They saw and they recognized the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and then thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. I'll come back to this later. Let me digress a little bit. You will note that the key phrase in this whole narrative is his hands and his side. But not only his hands and his side, his hands, his side, his feet and his side. Now these three are very, very important. Let's deal with the role of the hands and feet first. Now turning back to Psalm chapter 22, we read this wonderful psalm of prophecy, the Messianic Psalm, where we read that David wrote 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was born, they pierced my hands and my feet. They pierced my hands and my feet. Now, that was an amazing prophecy. Why was it amazing? It was pointed out very clearly at the Easter conference that at that time, we know that David could not be the person. Although he wrote the psalm, he could not be the person. There was no record that he had been pierced in his hands and feet. And again, there was no record that any criminal at that time was to be crucified by having their hands pierced and their feet pierced. No, it was unknown. And we read, if you refer to my reflection for the week in the next page, that crucifixion was only discovered or was used in 516 BC. 300 years before crucifixion was ever known, it was prophesied that this Messiah was to have his hands and feet nailed. It was amazing. And therefore we see this significantly fulfilled. But before we see this fulfilled, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, he also said that the rulers will capture him and will kill him, will nail him to the cross, will crucify him. The Lord Jesus Christ also anticipated the very manner of his death by crucifixion. And true enough, we read that all these verses are found in your notes. I have no time, I'm hurrying through. And so, the Lord Jesus Christ was led to the cross, and there to be crucified. And therefore we see this prophecy in Psalm 22 verse 16 being fulfilled very significantly. Now, in the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ being judged, the prophecy could not have been fulfilled. Why? We read in Luke chapter 23, we read that Pilate found no fault in this man. And he said, Herod also found no fault in this man. Release him. If they had released Jesus, Jesus would not have been crucified. The prophecy would not have been fulfilled. Pilate went further. Alright, let me just scourge him, chastise him, and release him. If he had done so, Jesus would not have been crucified, and the prophecy would not have been fulfilled. His wife interrupted and said, Husband, do not have anything to do with this just man. And if he had listened to his wife, then Jesus would not have been crucified, and the prophecy would not be fulfilled. But he listened to the crowd, and the crowd said, We have no king but Caesar. Crucify him! Crucify him! And so, in those words that we read in Luke, they let him out to be crucified. It was a great moment when the prophecy was fulfilled. Crucifixion would mean his hands and his feet were nailed. And that's how the 11 were very sure of the Lord Jesus Christ because of his hands and his feet. Let's go back to Luke 24. Luke 24, after the two disciples had recognized the Lord Jesus Christ, they went back to Jerusalem in verse 33, and they told the 11 that they had seen the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 34. And then, as they were discussing this, Jesus Christ again appeared in verse 39, and he said unto them, Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. Verse 40, he repeated, when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. His hands and his feet, they were very important because they were the evidence of linking the Messianic Christ in Psalm 22 with the real Christ that was crucified on the cross and with the living Christ who was standing before them now. His hands and his feet, that was proof. It was important. The hands and his feet. Alright, and so we find that the 11 could only be sure that it was the Messiah. It was the person on the cross that was standing before him because of his hands and his feet. And after that, we read in chapter 10, verse 49, the Lord Jesus Christ took them to a hill, and soon in verse 50, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worship him. And do we realize that as he blessed them, as he was carried up into heaven, as he ascended, he took with him the wounds in his hands and his feet. His hands and his feet were pierced. He took with him his hands, the wounds in his hands and his feet, and today he is now in heaven with the wounds in his hands and the wounds in his feet. As the slain lamb, worthy is the lamb that was slain. And he will come again. And he will come again. Revelation chapter 1. And what do we read? In verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also who pierced him. They who pierced him, they will recognize the wounds in his hands and his feet. That's how they will recognize. For us, how do we know Jesus Christ? We cannot just recognize Jesus Christ from the portrait of the artist. We do not know whether it's real or not. But we can know the Lord Jesus Christ when we will see him coming in the clouds and he has got the wounds in his hands and his feet. But more so, we now come back to Thomas. Thomas did not want to see the wounds in his hands and his feet. The Thomas asked to see the wounds in his hands and his side. Let's go back to John chapter 20. And so we read that the disciples told John that the Lord Jesus Christ had appeared to them, and they knew for sure that it was the Lord Jesus Christ because they saw his hands and his side, which the Lord Jesus Christ showed them. And therefore John now set his condition for belief in verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in the hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And that was the Sunday after the Sunday that the Lord appeared to the disciples. That will be in our terms perhaps next Sunday. Then the Lord appeared. The Lord appeared because Thomas had offered a challenge. "Except I shall see the print in his hands and the wound in his side, I will not believe." The Lord Jesus Christ appeared, and in verse 26, the Lord used the same words in verse 27. "Thomas, reach here thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach here thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." "Thomas, come on. You want to see my hands and the nail prints in my hands? Here are my hands. Touch your hands. Touch my nail prints. Come on, touch them. You want to see this wound in my side? Here is the wound in my side. Put your finger right through and touch the very wound in my side. Touch it and see for yourself whether this is a real wound or not." No, Thomas could not do that. Thomas could not do that. Thomas dare not even reach out his hand anymore. Thomas did not even dare put his hand into the wound. He just knelt down. And we read in verse 28, "Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." Have you seen the Lord Jesus Christ to that extent? The Lord Jesus Christ has at last fulfilled his task again. That they were not going to walk anymore by sight, but they were going to walk by faith. And Thomas at long last said, "No, I'm not going to see you by sight. I know you are living. I know. That's enough. You are my Lord and my God." And Jesus said in verse 29, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed." You see the connection there? "Because thou hast seen, thou hast believed." He has passed from sight into faith. You have seen and you have believed. Praise the Lord for that. The two disciples, they saw, and as soon as they saw and they believed, Jesus vanished. And Thomas, he saw and he believed. And here is a tremendous blessing for another group of people. Verse 29, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And here is one group. Those who have not seen, and of course, we are the people. We have never seen the Lord Jesus Christ by sight. And we shall not see until he comes again. We are not going to see him. But are we going to believe? The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Blessed are those who have believed and yet have not seen me. Who have not seen me and yet have believed." Oh, praise the Lord. We are the ones. We have blessing. And no wonder we read in 1 John 3. Just now we were turning to 1 John 5. And 1 John 3 says this, that as we today, we do not appear what we shall be. But the day will come, we shall all be changed, and we shall be as he is. Oh, how wonderful it is. Do you believe that? Do you see that? And if you believe that, and you see that, it must change your lives. It must change your lives. Just as the disciples, when they saw and believed, their lives were changed. From fearful people hiding from the crowd in that room, they went out and they preached the gospel. Their lives were changed. You have believed. Has it changed? Do you believe in a risen Savior? Today, 1 week from the resurrection day, do we believe that he is in our midst? Do we believe that he lives and he lives forevermore? Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how? I know he lives within my heart. This is how I know. I cannot tell you. I cannot reason out with you. But this is how I know he lives within my heart. This is the post-resurrection rumination. And so lastly, that was for all. All will see. Back to Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. The day is coming. Chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also who pierced him, and all kindreds. There are two groups only who will see him when he comes with clouds. Please note, only two groups. Those who pierce him, and those who are the kindreds of the earth. What about us? We have seen him. We would have been raptured up to be with him already. This is his coming, not for the church. This is the revelation. He will come and he will be revealed to all the world so that those who pierce him can see him. When he comes for us, the church, it will be in a twinkling of an eye. Nobody will be able to see him. But we shall all be caught up together with him in a twinkling of an eye. But this is not for us. We would be with him. And we shall be coming with him. And all eyes will see him whom they have pierced. Who are those who had pierced him? Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. And verse 10. And we read, I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn. They are those who have pierced him. And the kindreds of the nations on earth, the Gentiles, they will look upon him and they will bewail. The Jews will mourn. The Gentiles will bewail. They will cry out for crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be repentance then. And after that, we find the new covenant will take place. For your information, this evening at the Assembly Bible class, we shall be studying the new covenant. When all these things will be put into place, those who mourn and those who will, they will realize their mistakes. They will repent. And then a new kingdom will be set up upon earth. And then there will be peace, where Christ will reign. So that will be the rumination for today. If you turn back to the other side, next page, you will find reflections for the week. The rumination is for only the Sunday Lord's Supper, preparing you for the Lord's Supper. But I do feel that it's not enough just to let you think and prepare yourself for the Lord's Supper on a Sunday morning. You need to walk with God the whole week before another Lord's Day appears. And so, every rumination, there is the other part, the reflections for the week. Two questions will always be put there to challenge you to live your life in closer walk with God based upon the rumination. And therefore, you see these two questions being asked. Reflect on them so that they will help you to walk the Christian life of faith before the Lord. May the Lord bless you. And I do pray, and with this, that you can see for yourself how you can make maximum use of the materials that I have put up on the website. By the way, before I forget, sometimes you want to find certain topics that I have perhaps discussed or studied in the past. And you see, wow, how to look through all the tens of topics and so on. It's very difficult. In my home, in my website, there is a search engine. Just as you have in the other, in the general website, Google and so on, you have a search engine. So in my website, there's also a search engine. You just type in what you want. For example, hands and feet of the Lord. You type in, and then all the sermon studies that you can find about the hands and feet are listed there. Then you can choose what you want. So that is easy to facilitate you to search for what you want. May the Lord bless you. And I do trust that just as this has been a blessing, not only to the Christians in Penang, but to the Christians in the world, because I have received feedback from believers outside. In fact, just last week, I received a feedback from a brother from Chicago, and he said he was making use of the rumination week by week, and he was very, in fact, very concerned with what's going on in the assemblies, that the Lord's Day, the Lord's Supper had deteriorated to such an extent that the remembrance of the Lord was no more there. Well, we hope that in one way that the Lord will use these materials to help resuscitate our love to remember the Lord and to revere Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for that with the risen Christ who is alive today. We thank Thee for the living Christ. He lives in our midst and in our lives. And Lord, let us be able to say, You ask me how I know Him. You ask me how, but I know He lives. He lives within my heart. So I pray, and so we all pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.